Hey, before we get into it, Melbourne is coming up in a couple of weeks. I've got 12 shows, but I don't have that many tickets. LouSpears.com. Melbourne on the 9th of April to the 21st, every night except for Monday. Then we go to Albury, Sydney, Newcastle, Port Macquarie, Gold Coast, Hobart, Launceston, Adelaide, Ballarat, Warrnambool, Shepparton, Brisbane announced soon. Get your tickets, loosebeers.com. They're going quick, especially Sydney, especially Adelaide, and those Fridays and Saturdays in Melbourne, they're filling up quick. Get your tickets, I'll see you there. It kicks off in a couple of weeks. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 329 of the Spearhead Sundays podcast. Well done. That's it. That's the last time I can do that for, fuck, I don't know. When's the next time I can do that? That would be
90 episodes.
90, you've done the math? That's how much you loved it? Yeah, it'd be about 90 episodes. Until we get to 430 something. Because we go 4-3.
Yeah, 100
episodes. But then, even then, no, I don't think so, because it really only works with 3-2.
That sucks.
And then, so that'll never happen again. Unless.
No, 16 episodes. 3-4-5.
That's, we can do it once. We can do it once, and that'll be really funny. Okay, so yeah, in about 30-something episodes, it'll be funny once. But until then, guys, that was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Or what if, unless we do 1,000 episodes more, am I even going to live? I'll live that. Will I live that long? If I do one a week? How many episodes? If I do this podcast till I'm 75... Right, average life expectancy. I'm 30 now. So what have we got? We've got 45 years.
You got 2,340 episodes left.
Oh, and I'm not going to miss a single one. That's good. Gee, that'd be really great. I would love to, like, in my will, right? If I have a degenerative brain disease, if I've got dementia, just fucking put me in the chair and turn the camera on for 55 minutes. And just go, all right, Grandpa, you're doing a podcast, and just post it. That's what I want. That's what I want my leg. See, that's what I really don't like seeing Bruce Willis, his daughters posting him. Let him die how I envisioned him as like an action hero. Not a guy going, my toes are cold. What day is it? They're raising awareness. All right, cool, whatever. I'm being selfish. I want to remember Bruce Willis as cool, not half retarded. You know what I mean?
Half retarded.
Anyway, guys, welcome to the show. Keelan's back.
Hello.
I shaved, all right?
Yeah.
I shaved. I decided, I looked in the mirror one day and I decided, I think that the only reason I ever really had facial hair was because I did not have a chin, right? I think that's the reason why most people have beards. There are some dudes out there that have a jawline and a beard and they look fucking awesome. Most dudes out there are disguising a lack of a chin with a beard and they're creating a jawline. In fact, I remember this is what my surgeon said to me. When I first went in there just to see if I was a candidate for surgery, he goes, look, you've got this symptom, you've got that symptom, you've got this, you've got a really narrow palate, you look like you have a recessed jaw, so you're a pretty good candidate for this surgery. And do you know what a lot of people with recessed jaws have? And I went, sleep apnea? And he went, nah, a beard, because you got no chin. I was like, okay, cool, thanks, man. And he goes, most people come into my clinic with a beard, or their best attempt at one. And a lot of people leave and they don't ever have a beard again. And I thought about that and I had a look in the mirror and I thought, a lot of people are telling me that I don't look very different since the surgery. And I think it's because I actually trimmed my beard a lot closer, but it just looked like how I used to look when I gave the impression of a chin with facial hair. So I thought, well, logic dictates that if I shaved the beard, I would look a lot better. So I did. And another reason why I shaved as well is I got my first, oh, you look like, since the surgery, from a stranger.
Okay.
Because I feel like people who know me, they know that I look like me and it was hard to tell the difference. And I kept thinking, like, man, who do I look like? And I got one. We had a guy over to the house. He'd never seen me before. And he clocks me immediately. This is when I got the beard. And he goes, oh, you look like Gary Oldman. And I was very unhappy with that. You know, that's Commissioner Gordon in the Christian Bale Batman, right? He goes, you look like Gary Oldman. And I went, young Gary Oldman? He goes, no, no, like Commissioner Gordon. I went, fuck. He's like 40 there. So then I thought, okay, well, I'm going to get rid of the beard. And then we'll see who people really think that I look like. And what I did, shaved the beard, got rid of it. This is what I look like now. And I'm going to keep it like this. And then I posted a photo of myself and now normally I would discredit this because sometimes someone says something crazy and people think it's funny and then everyone starts saying it and it's like a joke, like a meme. And you go, oh, yeah, that's a funny one. However, unfortunately, this same comparison was made across every single social media platform by multiple people and it's upset me quite a bit. And that is a lot of people, as soon as I posted a photo of myself with no beard, they said that I look like Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, what?
And I just looked at a photo of Jeffrey Epstein and I kind of see it. And I'm very upset. What do you think?
Yeah, I see it. I see it.
Fuck! Great. I went in to the doctors to cure my sleep apnea and look more handsome. I come out looking like a billionaire pedophile.
He's handsome though.
He is good looking. Let's look, take out all of the horrible stuff that he's done and disregard the fact that his soul is rightfully burning in the fiery pits of hell. Epstein was a good looking fella. I don't know why he resorted to all of that. He could have just picked up at a bar where only of age people were allowed. But you know, sometimes you've got to manipulate people for your government's benefit. Or so the conspiracy theories go. I got two, the only ones that I got more than once on different social media platforms, the first one, and by far the most common one, was you look like Jeffrey Epstein now, which sucks. Where's Mike Elaine? The other one was you look like Austin Butler. That's good. That's good, and I don't agree, but I'll take it. So what you're saying is I look like a billionaire pedophile or a guy who acts as a millionaire pedophile. Elvis. Great. At least I've got money. Sorry, scratch that. The surgery has been tough financially. At least I look like I've got money.
Patreon,
oh, man.
Patreon.
That's good. Maybe instead of promoting it, we'll try and like brainwash people like with subliminal messages. Patreon. That's really good. Can you flash that up on the screen? Patreon. Right. So, oh, how's this? I just checked my calendar. I get my braces off in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I can't fucking wait. I'm so sick of these. I can't wait to bite into an apple and eat pussy. Those are the two things that I've been missing out on.
You can't eat pussy?
I can't do it well. I have to be really careful. And it's like... you know what? I'm doing an impression of eating pussy. It's like, it can be done, but is anyone having any fun? Not really. You know? That's the benefit of getting braces when you're a teenager is no one's really eating pussy when you're 15. You know? It's more so finger a girl in a park and then let your mate sniff your fingers. Did your friends all do that?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is such a thing. Like I have so many distinct memories of like multiple people at multiple parties just sneaking off into an alley to like with a girl and then coming back, boys, sniff my fingers. And we all would. And that's probably, is that an Australian thing? Listeners outside of Australia, did that happen everywhere else? Or is that just like a 15, 16-year-old boy thing? That's foul, isn't it? Would you imagine if that happened today? You know? Although that's a little bit of a... Isn't that kind of like a wedding tradition? I want to say Jewish or Indian, where people you do the marriage and then you go into a room to have sex and then you come out and you go, hey, I think it's Jewish. You come out and you go, hey, and everyone claps like, hey, he fucked her. Woo! I feel like it's a Jewish thing, or maybe it's an Indian thing also. But yeah. Girls, does that happen with you? You know? Did that happen in house parties with you where you would go like at
when, Jewish thing. Yeah.
Jewish thing. Nailed it. Did that ever happen at house parties where you would sneak around and you'd give a guy a hand job and you'd be like, oh, girls, shake my hand. It's sticky.
Girls go, smell my breath.
Yuck. That's foul. All right. And we're moving on. That's fucking disgusting. But for real, is there a female equivalent of that? A lady equivalent? I don't think so. I hope not. There probably is. There definitely is. That's whatever you guys are yapping about in the group chat. That's what it is. See, that's a thing that girls do that at least none of my male friends have ever done, is the girls will do the play-by-play recap of sexual encounters, like in detail. They'll do that. Like so often I was I would be with a girl and then her girlfriends would just know everything and it would be brought. Does that ever happen to you?
No. No.
You're not working hard enough.
But I remember hearing at 16 when I was living in America, my friend was telling me the first time he ate pussy, he like calls me. He's like, it smelled like cat food, tasted like cat food. Is that normal?
That's not normal.
Yeah.
That's not good. Yeah.
I said, sorry, man, that's not normal. But I was 16, so I wouldn't have known what to say.
Yeah. Did you know? You wouldn't have known if you were 16?
Yeah.
I
was an active fella.
I wasn't. I was like, not till 18. I was a late bloomer. It was the lack of chin. Okay. So, yeah. You know what? Please, for the love of God, give me another lookalike. Who else? Who else do I look like? That is not a pedophile. That'd be good. So I could at least go, oh, I think they don't even have to be hot. They just have to not be a sex offender. That'd be good, you know? All right. So huge news in Australia. Huge news for Tasmania. Huge news for Greeley. All right, Tasmania has finally gotten their own AFL team. The Tasmania Devils. I don't know why they didn't go with the Tasmanian Devils, but apparently there was a big copyright, like, almost dispute between who owns the Tasmanian Devil character?
Warner Brothers.
It's not Disney?
No, it's Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers owns Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Jeez, Warner Brothers fumbled the bag. I feel like they could have been Disney. Bugs Bunny. All those characters, what's the real difference between like Bugs Bunny and fucking
Michael Mouse?
Yeah. Is that a character? Fuck you. That's it. Fuck you. Fuck you, pull some strange references out. Who's Michael Mouse? Is that the mouse with the cape?
Wait, maybe I'm misremembering.
Michael Mouse.
Michael Mouse was like an alternative to Mickey.
Really? I don't know about that. I think you're hallucinating.
Evil Mickey, Australian Mickey Mouse.
Australian Mickey Mouse?
That's what it says, yeah.
Right, okay. Well, that's shouldn't have been brought up. I feel like, yeah, they could. That's just Mickey Mouse with angry eyebrows. Sorry. That's just a fucking, that's, I know what that is. That just looks like a shit Facebook meme page just made it. This is Michael Mouse, he's Australian. G'day, mate. Let's fucking smoke a bong. Sniff my fingers. Anyway, Tasmania has finally got their own football team. I assume they just got connected to the internet and they found out about the sport and they were like, why don't we have a team? Isn't that weird that Gold Coast got its team before Tasmania did? The whole fucking state? They're the only state that doesn't have a team. Every other state has like 50 teams. But they finally got one and they decided to call it the Tasmania Devils because there's an animal called the Tasmania Devils. And apparently they got into a giant dispute with Warner Brothers' copyright and legal team because Warner Brothers was like, hey, you can't call your team that because we own the character, the Tassie Devil, right? And the guy that was going back and forth with them on the AFL team had to explain to this American lawyer that the Tasmanian Devil was an actual animal and not an invented character that Warner Brothers created. And then as soon as they found out that they did some research, probably a Google search, they were like, oh, fuck, you're totally right. And you can't copyright an animal because they are a fucking animal. It's like copyrighting a human. Actually, you can't have that little girl because I actually copyrighted humans. How the fuck did they... That makes me wonder, how did they even come up with the Tasmanian Devil character then? Like, was it a fake... Before, because they're extinct now, the Tassie Devils. No, they're not.
Tigers are
devils. Well, that is even more confusing to me. I know that. I just... How do you fucking create a character about an animal and not know the animal still exists? That was so dumb that I just assumed that the Tassie Devils were extinct when I know that they're not. It's the Tassie Tigers that are... gone. Who created the Tasmanian Devil? God, evolution's fake.
It was 1954, so they probably did know about them, and then it just the Tasmanian Devil character became more popular.
Right.
Than the actual.
Yeah, that's wild. You know, if you look at the Tasmanian Devil character, it does speak like the devils do. Because we saw, when we went to the zoo thing in Tassie, we saw them, and they just kind of go... They actually do that to each other and they're always fighting, but they're so blind, they don't really have the capacity to hurt each other. So they just kind of go, blah! You know, it's like, have you ever seen that documentary about, it's really sad that, I think it was, I can't remember what country it was some Eastern European country. It was a documentary, a group of documentary filmmakers went into like a home for special needs people. And it was really sad because they just kind of put him in a room and they didn't communicate with them and they all had their own language and they would fight over food. It reminded me of that because every now and then someone would put a bowl of food out and the Tassie Devils would be like, and fight over it. No one would get hurt, but only one person would get fed. It reminded me of that documentary. Very sad. It's you'll know the one. It's the one where... Probably maybe the most fucked joke I've made on the show. There'll be more. It's the scene where it's actually a horrific and heartbreaking documentary because every kid in there pretty much is actually mentally disabled, but there's one kid who's just blind and they just chucked him in there and no one spoke to him or communicated with him and he just kind of became like mentally disabled because he was just not stimulated at all. And the documentary lady just like breaks character. She's not really supposed to be on screen and she gives this kid a hug and he's like, what the fuck is a hug? He's clearly never been like touched or loved or anything like that. And he's just like, shit, I'm just trying not to bump into things and get hit by the other kids. It's fucking awful. Anyway, brought the mood down. Shall we bring it back up? This AFL team, right? You had an idea, Keelan?
Yep. So I've signed the podcast up to a founding membership, $10. And
that's how shit this AFL team, like that's how shit they know the team's going to be, is the founding membership's $10. Please join the Tasmania Devils AFL team. Do they even have a fucking AFL playing ground in Tassie?
They don't have a training center and I don't think they have a home ground yet. I don't believe.
So what do they have? They've got
an idea.
They have an idea and they have a name and they have what they're going to have is a really, really difficult time coming up with a mascot and a logo that looks nothing like the Tasmanian Devil that Warner Bros. Owns. Because if it looks anything like that, they could get sued.
So
it's going to have to just be like a photo of the actual animal. Everyone else gets a mascot. The Tasmanian Devils will just be like a photo they got off Getty Images. With the watermark.
The benefits are you get a membership, so like a discount code to merch.
Great. Okay. And by the way, I don't like football at all, AFL. A digital membership. To what?
Nothing.
Oh, so we don't even get a card. The
first game won't be until 2028.
So I'll be 34, hopefully not living in this country, and I'll get a shot at getting tickets? Do I get like first chance, first dibs at tickets to watch the brand new team lose?
I don't know, but I hope that you and I can go to the first game together.
Yeah, if we can get tickets, that'll be my promise to you. If you're still alive, because we know how your health is. if you're still alive, I'll fly here from wherever. I'll fly to the game wherever it is. We'll go together. Cool. And we'll hold hands and cry as they lose.
Okay, so that's then you also get what is it, a sticker?
Okay, what's the sticker look like?
I don't know.
They don't know yet?
Well, I don't know. I didn't look into it.
Okay, all right.
And this is the most important one. This is a celebration for all of us.
Yeah.
Spearhead Sundays will be permanently on the training center forever. The word Spearhead Sundays will be under the list of founding members.
That's so good.
But there's no training center. It's just a promise they've made.
Right. So if they get a training center, somewhere in that training center will be the word Spearhead Sundays.
Yes.
And Keelan Brown.
Keelan Ferrari. Yeah.
Keelan Ferrari.
I'm getting everyone. Like Uncle Whitey signed up. I'm trying to get everyone I can to sign up.
That's good. Should we get one for Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah. My dad signed up.
Okay. That's so funny. Right. Well, that's good. I think that's really good. We're going to be a permanent fixture in what will undoubtedly be the worst AFL team for decades to come.
I've got an idea for some good guerrilla marketing.
And I think that's that, before we get into our marketing plan, I think that is really, that's the only AFL team that I want to support. And that's the only AFL team that I would truly relate to, is a team that just consistently loses and has the least supporters.
Yeah.
Because that really says a lot about my thoughts towards AFL, the sport, you know, is if I could get the only team I support is the team that most people won't even turn up to the games. Like really what I want to see is on that first game that you and I go to in 2028, when I'm 34.
I'll have to get a babysitter.
You'll be in a wheelchair. what I really want to see is halfway through the game, half the people in the Tasmania Devils seating section just leaving to skip the traffic. Because like we're losing that badly, they don't even want to see how it ends. There's not even, like second quarter, I want a quarter of the audience gone. Like, oh, we know how this is going to go.
Well, the first game that the Gold Coast Suns ever played,
yeah,
from memory, it was against the Bombers, and they lost by like 106 points.
That'd be good. I would love them to lose by even more, like 120 points, and then they have to get off on a plane back to Tasmania and train in the cold and walk past Spearhead Sundays. And just knowing that one of their founding members is crying, laughing on the podcast at how terribly his team did.
Yeah, so I think we do a weekly update on how the Tassie Devils are going.
Yep.
But my marketing idea, guerrilla marketing, everyone listening to this,
yep,
you've got $10,
yep,
sign up and put your name down as Spearhead Sunday.
That's really good. Yeah, that'd be really good if it was like Spearhead Sundays, Tom Brown, Spearhead Sundays, Marie, Spearhead Sundays. That'd be good if we get so many people signing up under the name Spearhead Sundays that it just becomes a pattern on the wall.
Yeah.
That's really good.
And there's something like 80,000 people already signed up. So it would kind of blend in with all the other names. But if it really looks like the people painting the names on the wall,
yeah, you'd
be like, I've already printed this name 100 times.
I wonder then if we should maybe encourage a little bit of variety. Do you know what I mean? Like if there's 100 people that sign up under the name Spearhead Sundays, will they just write it once?
Mm.
Maybe we should do a few variations of Lewis Spears. I don't know.
Lewis Spears, Spearhead Sundays, Spearhead Mondays, Spearhead Tuesdays. Spearhead,
yeah, that's Wednesdays. Good. Yeah, Spearhead Sundays.
Yeah. Spearhead Fun Days.
Spears on stage. Bluest Spears, Jeffrey Epstein. That probably won't get on.
Dover.
Huh?
Ben Dover.
that would be so funny if like a good, even if a good 2% of the names were just vaguely reminiscent of this show. Keelan's Meelans. That's really good. You know what? Just sign up and make a reference to the show. Lots of Spears, lots of Lewis stuff, and DM your screenshot to the Spearhead Sundays Instagram page. We'll post the best ones.
Or to me.
Or to Keelan. Yeah. Because he'll actually see them. that's really good. You know what would be fucking awesome in 2028 is if we... Because you know how they have a fan club? Like every game has like behind the goalpost, they've got the fan club.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome if we could just fucking... Because how shitty would they be if most of the fan club was there, ironically, and it was kind of more of a podcast meetup? Like hopefully in 2028, the show is really big.
Yeah.
Like if we're getting like, I don't know, 100,000 downloads, we could really ruin the atmosphere of the Tasmanian Devils supporters section.
That could be good fun. Yeah.
That would be so good. Because most football games, they have chants, right? They've got chants they do. They wear face paint. What if we just all did impressions of the Warner Brothers Tasmanian Devils? You know, and like it's their first game. We're in the fourth quarter. The Tasmanian Devils score their first point. It's not a goal. It hit the post. It's a point. You know, we're going 200-1 at this point, and it cuts to the supporters, and we're all going. People are spinning in circles, falling over. That would be really good. So, guys, put that in your calendar for 2028. We're all going to go to the first Tasmanian Devils game in I assume, Hobart. It's going to be cold as fuck, and we're going to lose with style.
Book your babysitters now.
Yeah, book your babysitters. Even those of you who don't have kids, you might have a three-year-old by then. Where's Kate Middleton? Oh, where's Kate Middleton? Everyone's wondering, where is Kate Middleton? Where is Kate Middleton? Who gives a fuck? Who cares? Does anyone should anyone give a fuck at all about Kate Middleton? She's not even the queen. I don't care. Why do I have to care about royals? She's a fucking... The royal family is a borderline tourist attraction. Everyone, why do they even exist at all? Do they do anything? It sucks. All right? It's a fucking tourist attraction. And apparently the only thing that can make the people care less about this tourist attraction is just like Dreamworld when we find out that they've hurt a bunch of children. Like... Why are we, who cares where Kate, oh, she's not making public appearances. What was she doing in public anyway? Showing up in a fucking stupid hat and going, don't talk to me, commoners. Why does anyone give a fuck where she is? Oh, she posted a photoshopped image. Okay. I don't think Kim Kardashian looks like that when she posts her photos. Everyone's freaking out. That Kate Middleton edited her photos like they're not jumping on Facetune before they post a fucking Instagram story. Like I don't give a fuck where this woman and her children are. Who cares? How has anyone's life changed? You know what this Kate Middleton thing like really says to me is I think that the only people that actually care about where Kate Middleton is the media. Because I think a huge chunk of their business actually relies on buying and selling photos of her. So they're trying to get the public to care about her. Because now that she's gone, they can't fucking try and take photos up her skirt as she gets out of a car and sell that to TMZ. I don't care where Kate Middleton is. Has anyone checked the tunnels? Not the Jewish tunnels in New York. I'm talking about the ones under the, like, actual car tunnels. Oh. Is it? Yeah. Look, I'm just saying the last thing that a fucking woman who is almost the queen needs is paparazzi looking for her as she tries to get away from them. That ended poorly last time. Leave her alone. Everyone also, the whole tourist attraction thing shits me of like, people go, oh, the royal family is useless. And the only cohesive argument that makes some sense and holds water is they bring in a lot of money for the UK for tourism. My rebuttal to that is, isn't it mostly the castles? Like, isn't most of the work done by the actual fucking old buildings and the castles that they live in? Like, no tourist actually gets to see the royal family, you know? Like, how much extra money are they bringing in because inside of that castle there might be a guy dying of ass cancer? Like, is any extra revenue being generated? You know? Like, would Uluru make more money if you told people that inside the rock was an Aboriginal elder? I don't think so. I don't think it would make more money. That's a terrible analogy, by the way. Because Uluru's like a natural landmark. But you know what I mean? Like, in Scotland, there's a bunch of castles that are not full of royalty that used to be full of kings and queens. Like, would any less money be made if all of the royals were just, like, guys and girls? They're not royals anymore, and you could just, like... People don't want to see the queen. They want to see Buckingham Palace and look at the guards. Like, you can still have the guards. You can still have the palace. You can still have the fucking walk-through tours and... Like, I'm not going... Like, if I go to England, I will want to see those things, but not because of the people in them, because of the history associated with them. And I want to see, like, the old buildings and... Because kings and queens were only interesting when they were fucking killing each other and fighting off Vikings and trying to fuck their cousin without their children becoming retarded. You know? That's what I'm interested in.
When I was at Buckingham Palace the other year... There was a rumor going around on TikTok that the Queen had died.
Yeah.
And so Phoebe and I are standing out the
front. How close to her death was this?
Really close.
Yeah.
So Phoebe and I are standing out in front of the crowds, just going loudly going, "Oh my God, news alert, the Queen has died."
Okay. And that's good.
When I landed home, I got into bed and then you texted me, "Oh my God, the Queen just died."
Yeah, because I actually did know.
Yeah.
Like the day before they announced it. Because so, I knew a chef that used to work in the palace, but still knew the chefs that worked in the palace, and they all found out early.
So I found out that she died the day I got back from England.
Wow. So you kind of spoke it into existence.
Yeah.
You won't be allowed back.
No.
But yeah, I don't know. Why should anyone give a fuck about Kate Middleton not showing her face in public? Like is that her job?
Yeah.
But who pays her to do that?
The royal family pay her to do royal engagements. That's her whole job. And to be the face of William's family.
Right. Well, I would say that William is doing a terrible job at representing the royal family because can Prince William shave the rest of his fucking head? Please. Can you believe that Prince William used to be the hot one? Do you remember this? You might not remember this unless you're like, you know, 25 plus, but Prince William used to be the sexy one. And then he started to lose his hair and he got a bit fat in the face, probably drinking too much. And now the dude's just walking around with the sideburns on his head. I would like to make... it very clear to any men out there who are losing their hair. Not me, all right? I'll never lose my hair. Sucked in. My grandpa's still got his, and so does my grandmother. I'm not going bald anytime soon. So does my dad. So does all the men on my mum's side. It's not my genes, dude. Sorry. I am going gray early, but I'm a silver fox. Fuck, you know who else had gray hair? Jeffrey Epstein. I need the beard back. Anyway, I would like to put forth something that a lot of fellas need to hear. This is really important to anyone who's losing their hair. I think that you actually look more bald with just the hair around the side than you do if you were actually completely bald. Like once you get that reverse U at the top of your head, it's time to shave all of it. Just give up. Like Prince William at this point has the same haircut as Homer Simpson. And it's not befitting of a royal. Shave it. All right, anyway, what else is happening? Oh, man, have you been watching this Nickelodeon stuff? This Nickelodeon shit is crazy. You know, so a documentary came out all about Nickelodeon in like the 2000s when it was kind of headed by Dan Schneider. Dan Fingers Insider Schneider. And this whole thing coming out now, like in 2024, like this just shows... To me, obviously everything that's happened is horrible and I believe all of it and it's fucking horrific. But what this really says to me is how fucking pervasive and powerful the effect on the culture and the internet that 4chan is. Because I remember when I was like 17, 16 to 18, when I used to go on 4chan all the time. Right. This is like before social media was a really big thing, when Facebook was just starting, when the internet was just a collection of message boards and websites, and then YouTube was just taking off. I used to go to 4chan all the time, and all the time I would see threads and threads and threads all about Dan Schneider and the really suspect TV scenes that were on Nickelodeon. And this was before there was like any evidence beyond what we saw on television. This was just like some autistic 4chaner getting screenshots and downloading videos of all of these really weird, like mildly sexual scenes that these child girl actors were doing, and then doing the research and figuring out that all of these questionably kind of erotic, just weird scenes were all only happening on shows that Dan Schneider was like the executive producer on. And I remember looking at this and I had come to this conclusion, yeah, back in like fucking 2011, 2012, when I was 17, going, fuck, something really weird is going on in Nickelodeon and these shows are definitely strange and the positions they're putting these girls in and the things they're making them do. Like, yeah, in 2017, I remember watching like the footage, and I'm a minor when I'm watching this, going, oh, this is fucking weird as, of like Ariana Grande sucking her own toes, and there's other scenes of her like jokingly like trying to squeeze juice out of a potato and she's holding it with both of her hands and like going like this and making these weird moans. And then there's other scenes of her like on the bed on her back with the camera behind her, like pouring water all over herself and all over her body and her face and going, ah! And then so many other scenes of like it looked like a Quentin Tarantino film, like barefoot to the camera and all that kind of stuff and like rubbing goo and sauce on feet and so many other really, really fucking strange scenes. And at the time, the logo of Nickelodeon was a foot. Oh, yeah. Right? So, like, and Dan Schneider was the guy. Like, he was the man at Nickelodeon. Every show he produced was a fucking hit. Every show made heaps of money. They pretty much gave him free reign to create whatever he wanted and to run the shows however he wanted. And, like, now we know that even he has admitted that the environments were toxic. He's completely denied all of the sexual implications, and his defense is that adults are looking at these scenes with a sexual view, whereas he wasn't, and no one on the show was either, and that there were always parents on set and stuff like that. But then other child stars who have been, like, definitely proven in court sexually abused are going, there weren't always parents there, because if there were, how did this happen to me? But so even Dan Schneider has gone like, yeah, I was an asshole to a lot of people, a lot of adults, but I never did anything sexually to the kids. But you got to take that with a grain of salt, because the guy has in his own house has a pool that's shaped like a foot. So I don't know. You're sending mixed messages there, Dan. But yeah, I think that's like so obviously horrible what's happened, but it's so fascinating how fucking powerful and pervasive the effect of 4chan is on internet culture as a whole, and therefore the real fucking world, where something that was regularly discussed and then kind of like it was discussed, it was theorized, it was researched, and then like case closed, yeah, we think there's something fucked going on. Like 4chan had moved on from this by like 2013, but then all of that research that they did, and by the way, this is before anyone spoke out publicly. This is before any of the actors said anything, any of the behind the scenes people said anything, any journalist came sniffing. This was just what 4chaners saw on TV and then doing the math and being like, why does this thing keep happening with these child actors? Why is it always feet? Why is it always like goo and condiments and wet things being poured all over them? Why are they always in these positions? There's something weird going on here. All of that was like case closed, moved on from in like 2013, 14. And now, like the biggest fucking documentary of the moment is a 4-part limited series on the abusive environment at Nickelodeon. And all of these like former staff members and child actors talking about the not just the abusive work environment that they've endured, but also a lot of them are talking about actual sexual abuse that happened to them as well. This is proven in court, guilty verdicts and all that kind of stuff.
It's called Quiet on Set.
Quiet on Set. It's just fucking crazy. Like, it's like the Me Too movement for the child actors industry, which is so foul. But, you know, it's like we all know that Hollywood is like that and has been much worse since its inception. You know, you look at Marilyn Monroe, like how she died, like how she was kind of abused and passed around from executive to executive. You look at Harvey Weinstein. You know what's the craziest thing about Harvey Weinstein? My point was, you know, of course, if all of this stuff was happening in the adults industry and these people acting with such impunity and power with like no fear of being caught, it makes sense that it would also be happening in the children's section of the industry, which is just foul. And that's coming from me, a guy who looks like Jeffrey Epstein. Fuck. You know what's crazy about the Weinstein thing is in court, everyone describing his mangled looking penis. Do you know that? He had like a really fucked, deformed looking penis. If I was Harvey Weinstein and the prosecution lawyer, like I'm on the stand, right? And up to this point, I've denied. Even if it looked like I was going to win this case, if the prosecution like stepped up to me and went, Mr. Weinstein, could you please describe your penis? I would stand up and go, I did it. Yeah. Please don't, because I would know that 5 or 6 women are going to come in and describe my mangled looking cock. I'd be like, yeah, I did it. All done. Please, just for the love of God, don't get someone to draw it. That's unfortunate, isn't it? You don't want to be able... I was just going to say you don't really want to be identified by your penis, but that could be really good. But probably really bad.
Yeah.
More likely to be, if you can identify if someone could look at your dick, like just from belly button down, knees up, if someone can identify your dick, it looks fucked. There's something wrong with it. It's not good.
Do you think if you saw 1,000 pictures of penises,
yeah,
front on, flaccid,
yeah,
would you be able to pick out yours?
Mine? That's a good question. I want to say yes, but if they were all like framed exactly the same, I reckon no.
Yeah.
I don't think so. If they were all framed the same and if they all had no pubes as well, so you can't even get the hair color.
Yeah.
If everyone's waxed and it's the same temperature as well. Yeah. You know what? I feel like if every dick had two photos, cold and hot, I could identify mine.
Really? Oh, yeah, I could identify mine if in a...
Because I feel like everyone knows to the extent that they're a grower. You know, everyone knows their margin. You know? Because some dudes are just, no matter the temperature, they're exactly the same.
Yeah.
Some dudes are like fucking Ant-Man.
I reckon.
That really got me. But yeah, I reckon a thousand same temperature, same pubic hair trimming, same angle. I think I could get 10. That would be like, it's one of these, you know?
I think cold, I could work it out.
Mm.
But otherwise, I'd have no idea. Maybe a scar on my shaft.
Guys, what we're going to do is we're going to get... submissions where you need 1,000 penis. Don't. Don't. For the love of God, don't. But yeah, it's just like, it's obviously horrible to see because it looks like essentially all of it's true. But it's also like, I'm just seeing, I know all of this stuff. Like it's crazy seeing the entire world like be shocked by this and be freaking out about this and then pulling up all of the old clips that I had seen again and again and again in like 2011 when I was 17. I feel like I've already watched this entire documentary and all of the research be done by like just autistic racist neckbeards on 4chan. Like I feel like I've already done this. I feel like a conspiracy theorist that finally got confirmation. Like I fucking knew the moon landing was fake. I knew it. But yeah, Dan Schneider's come out and he said he's basically confirmed the toxic work environment and denied all of the because he's not, I don't think he's accused of any sexual abuse, but he is accused of like creating very sexual scenes. And his defense is, oh, people are just looking at that through a sexualized lens, which... I just don't think holds water at all because like if you're working with children, if you're filming children, you're getting them to do stuff like, I mean, I've never worked with kids, but I feel like I'd be able to look at something and think, even if I know from the bottom of my heart that I didn't intend this to be sexual, I know by looking at this, someone will. Which to a certain extent is inevitable. Like if you look at all of the child influencers, like just posting photos of their kids doing anything, there's always creeps that are going to find it. But I feel like, I don't know, like filming someone, a girl barefoot going like this with her toes and rubbing shit on it and sucking her own feet. Like there's no way that you can look at that and go, oh, this is fine to put out there.
Jeanette McCurdy spoke about it in her book.
Because you've read her book.
Yeah.
Right. And what did she say?
The one that I can remember is that they needed her to dress in a bikini or a body. You know what? Bather suit.
Yeah.
And she was uncomfortable with it and she was trying to tell the costume department that she didn't want to.
Mm.
And the costume department were like, yeah, we hear you, but you have to. The director said you have to. The director being Dan Schneider.
Mm.
And she fought hard for it, but everyone was too scared of him to do anything about it.
Yeah, and see, that's weird. Like, I can't think of, like, there's so many alternatives to, like, a bathing suit for, even if you have to do, like, a pool scene. You could do, like, a full one piece. You could do a rashie,
yeah.
You know, like a long sleeve rashie or a short sleeve rashie. Like, there's no reason why you need an underage girl in a fucking bikini. That's strange. Like, if she's comfortable with it and her parents are comfortable with it, whatever. But if the girl themselves is going, oh, I don't want to wear that, it's like, you got to listen because it's not essential. You know, if it was like, oh, I don't want to do any fucking pool scenes at all, no matter what I'm wearing. It's okay. Well, maybe that's a little bit unreasonable because the show, the whole episode is at the beach or at a pool or whatever the fuck. It's like, that makes sense. But yeah, what people are wearing is like fucking crazy. And yeah, I guess that speaks to the toxic environment because he would be a cunt to the runner that would say, oh, she doesn't want this. And then the runner would go and tell the wardrobe department, no, she has to wear this. And the wardrobe department might go up to Dan and go, she's not really uncomfortable. And he would be an asshole to the wardrobe department. And the wardrobe department's like, fuck, I want to keep my job. I have to make this girl wear this. And none of those people other than Dan know the true motive as to why she has to be in a bikini. Does she have to be? Because he's such an artist and it won't. Because that's the other thing. It's like, it's a fucking kids TV series. You know, there's no like, yeah, if you're Martin Scorsese and your artistic vision requires a certain item of clothing to be worn, then that's the job and you're an adult, so that's the job. But it's a fucking kids TV series. Like, nothing in there is essential at all. You're creating silly TV. So it's just, I don't know. I think it's very sus, and it's fascinating watching like Twitter and social media and TV blow up over this thing that I feel like, yeah, at 17, some random anonymous 4chan had just uncovered it. And you see that all the time, like stuff that was super popular on 4chan like 8 years ago just coming into popular consciousness. Like just about every single slang term and word that's used on TikTok originated on fucking 4chan. I mean, you look at cryptocurrency and how much that's changed the world. That was all, I remember, yeah, like when I was 18, being like, oh, Bitcoin. I could buy 10,000 of those for $100. I won't do that. That seems silly. Fuck! The miscellaneous bit at the end is the worst part of the podcast. Is the part where we answer emails and life advice questions sent in by you, the listener. If you want to send an email to the show, send it to podcast@lewspears.com. That's podcast@lewspears.com. Just summarize it in the subject line. Tell us a story. Ask us a question and we'll get back to you. All right. Where are we? We've got, I had this email, which looked quite good. Okay. So we've got this one titled, Are We the Assholes? And by the way, this segment is sponsored by your support on Patreon. Hey, Lewis. Big fan of the podcast and you in general. I've been watching since 2018, 2019. Thank you. That's a really long time. I appreciate that. Myself and my friend are far from 15, but she sure acted like it recently. We'll call my friend Karen. Okay, well, I feel like that's a bit of character assassination. You're setting me up to believe one thing. I'm going to change her name to Sarah. Myself, my husband, because we wanted an honest opinion. If her name's Karen, she's a cunt, yeah. You know? Myself, my husband, another couple, and Sarah went out of town for a 3-day trip to celebrate Sarah and the wife from the other couple's birthdays. Okay, so it's Sarah's birthday here. On the last night away, we were supposed to go out and have a fancy dinner that Sarah had picked. We all failed to look at the menu until a couple of hours before our reservation. Sarah kept saying it was expensive and how the chef prepared things fresh daily. Well, when we looked at the menu, it was an immediate hell no for all of us. The food was ridiculously expensive and had very limited options. I'll include a picture. Okay. Sarah came downstairs and goes, I heard you guys talking. We don't have to go there. And then started to walk out of the room. And my husband goes, so you're just going to walk away and not talk about it? Sarah turned around and sat down, but started crying. None of us knew how to respond to this reaction. She starts blabbering on about how she went with her parents and had the chicken and it was good. After she stopped crying, I tried bringing up other options for dinner and basically got shut down. She eventually perked up, but as soon as my husband tried bringing up why she didn't want to talk about why she cried, she aggressively flipped him off. I immediately looked at her crazy and asked why she flipped him off. She immediately apologized, only because I said something, I'm sure. We ended up going to dinner somewhere else and everything was fine. Sarah is an only child who was used to getting her way, clearly. We haven't spoken since this, which was about a week and a half ago at the time I'm sending this email. We plan on speaking with her about her behavior, but I'm not sure when. Hopefully my friend being a massive cunt will give you all a laugh. Ooh. Okay, I'm pulling up the menu here. She sent me a picture. I feel like there was a reason why her name was changed to Karen. I'm not sold on her being the asshole here just yet. Yeah. But I've pulled up the menu. Because keep in mind, she did say that it was expensive and you did agree to go to a fancy dinner for her birthday. And then you all pulled out when you saw the prices. So I think this is entirely dependent on the prices. Because if it's like, if it's like $100 a meal, then that's a bit more than fancy. But let's see. I've pulled it up here. And they complained about the lack of options. So we've got, there's a pasta menu. We've got octopus and pork filling, tomato sauce, tortellini, $25. Pappardelle, beef and pork ragu, $26. And then risotto, $35. That's the most expensive pasta. Okay, that's not expensive. That's normal. Let's check out the meats. Joyce Farm chicken, carrot and chicken, half $29, whole chicken $55. Reasonable. Hang on, is this American? I feel like it's... But even if it is American, it's not that expensive. Okay, whole roasted American red snapper, $51. Okay, so let's say this is American dollars. So that'd be about 70, 80 bucks. But that's for a whole fish. That's reasonable again. The pasta is a bit expensive because that would make it about 40 bucks. But again, that's not crazy. For a birthday dinner, if she told you it was fancy,
yeah.
If someone says, for my birthday... Oh, battery level low. Sorry, the camera died. We're back. I don't know, man. I'm not seeing the incredibly expensive food. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and assume that this is American dollars. But yeah, here's the thing. I need more information to decide who's the asshole. Because Sarah said, I heard you guys talking. We don't have to go there. What did you say? Like, what did she hear? Did she hear, oh, this looks really expensive. I don't know about this. Oh, I don't know if I can afford that. Or did she hear, is she fucking crazy? Does she think I'm going to spend this much money to go out to dinner? What the fuck? I don't want to do that. What a crazy fucking bitch. You know, like, what did she hear when you guys were downstairs? I actually am going to say, I don't think she's the asshole. I think crying seems like a big reaction, but also she seemed very excited for her birthday. Seemed like it's something she really wanted to do. Seems like she did warn you that it would be fancy. What did she say? Our last night away, we were supposed to go out and have a fancy dinner that Sarah had picked. Sarah kept saying it was expensive and how the chef prepared things fresh daily. And then the only other thing on the menu is like chef's choice. Price per person, food $68 per person, wine $48. I mean, that's, yeah, like $100 Australian. If it's $68 Australian, you guys are the asshole. If it's $100, that's not that expensive for like a fancy dinner. That's what a nice birthday dinner costs if you're having a multi-course meal, $100 for sure. Like most, I mean, in my area, most like regular restaurants, you're looking at fucking $25 to $35 a meal at like a normal place that's not fast food, you know? So like a fancier place, I'm thinking $40 to $60 depending on what I get for sure. Like minimum $35 for if it's a nice place. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems like the way that you've worded it, she had a crazy overreaction, but I also get the sense that you're leaving out a lot of what you guys said and how your husband spoke to her. Because after she stopped crying, blah, 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 your husband, I don't know. Seems to be a lot of information. I'm leaning towards that maybe you actually could be the asshole. It depends on what was said when she was listening. And also after she cried, did you go, hey, I want to talk about why that happened. Like, did we offend you? Is there anything that I can do? Or did you go, Why the fuck did you cry? And we just didn't want to go to an expensive dinner. You're being a baby. There seems to be a lot of context missing. I would like a follow-up email to get to the bottom of this. Keelan, what do you think?
I think the same. It doesn't seem that expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably just said something to hurt her feelings.
Yeah. All right. Case almost half open. It's closing. Case closing. Send a follow-up. And if you need some life advice, if you have a funny story, if you want to know anything or want me to bring something to the show, send it through to podcast@loosespears.com. We're getting a bunch of emails now, which is really good. Keep them coming. And yeah, that'll be it. We're going to continue on over on Patreon right now. There's a Patreon episode up. And yeah, we'll talk to you over there. Until then, I hope you have a shit one. Bye.